Here's what Isaiah said in his time. And by the way, in the Old Testament, there was a saying, there was a man, there was a watchman on the wall. And this watchman on the wall watched for danger, for enemies, for attacks and such like, and then sounded the warning to the people inside of the city that they might prepare and arouse themselves and meet and defeat the enemy and be spared. So the watchman on the wall. There are not many watchmen on the wall today that are sounding out the warning of the times in which we live. But here's what Isaiah had to say, 20 through 23 of chapter 5. This is just our beginning. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which then justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. In other words, the scripture is saying, woe to them and to those who turn all things upside down and who turn one thing into another and bring in corruption under the name of good and cast out righteousness under the name of evil. But let's add some more verses of scripture to our opening text. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2 said, and again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination. Expose them, bring them before them, bring them, name them. Isaiah 58 and 1, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Now, with those being read, let me say that the scriptures commend those who are wise and able to discern the times in which they live. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. A man that is wise will be able to read the time and able to discern judgment. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 16. When Ezra returned to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity with the people, he sent for men of understanding to use in the work. Get men of understanding and put them to the work of rebuilding Jerusalem from the ravages of the time in captivity. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. I want to bring to your attention who David surrounded himself with in order that he might turn around the evil that had been done by Saul, the evil that had been done under the kingdom of God. Who did he assemble? Verse 25, mighty men of valor for war. Verse 28, young men mighty of valor. And verse 30, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers, known for their character and their stand and such like. Verse 32, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Bring in men to work upon this who understand the time and to know what Israel ought to do. Now, how useful are those in a kingdom or in a government or a leadership position who have understanding of the time and know what to do and what is good for the nation and the people? Now, these kind of men ought to understand the natural time, the economic time, the religious time, and even the political time. These men of understanding are very valuable. Matthew Henry said on verse 32 here in this chapter of 1 Chronicles, they understand public affairs, the temper of the nation, and the tendencies of present events, unquote. Boy, that says a lot. I'd like to say it again. They understand public affairs, they understand the temper of the nation, and they understand the tendencies of the present state. And then, in the context, they knew Israel ought to make David king. They knew it was the right thing to do, to turn about the evil that had been done by Saul in his king and reignship over them. Also, see Esther chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, also consider the words of the Lord to a delegation of Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew chapter 16, 1 through 3, and it is also in Mark chapter 8 and verse 10 through 13. Some came to our Lord seeking a sign from heaven. Lord, show us a sign from heaven. And the Lord's answer was something like this. Now look, you can discern the weather. You can discern the face of the sky. But you cannot discern the signs of the time. The spiritual signs were all about them, and they could not discern them. And what were those spiritual signs in that context and in that historical setting? Well, they were this. The spiritual sign were that Jesus was indeed the Messiah of God, as he exactly matched the prophecies and the promises of the Scripture. But they could not discern that. They were blind. They could say, the sky's lowering, it's going to rain. But they could not discern that this one, Jesus, was the Messiah because he matched the Scripture and the prophecy. Now, all of that having been said as a kind of a lead-in, I think any with a discerning mind who see the current direction of our society, of our country, and yes, even of the world, can read that the handwriting is upon the wall if God does not intervene. We can see the decline. We can see the sad state of affairs. We can see that bad times are here and that they are ahead. We can see that the possibility of financial calamity looms over us. We can see that our morals as a nation have almost totally collapsed, and that corruption is in the government from the very top on down to the very bottom, and that the country is becoming more socialistic and becoming more secular. We can see from experience that hardly any job in America is secure, that crime is all but out of control. The national debt has passed $20 trillion and is climbing. Now, most people don't understand the implication of the national debt. The fact is that you owe a very large part of that, and when will it be collected? We understand that our government is becoming more and more oppressive, and that the government is becoming an enemy of righteousness and of Christianity. So I want you to hear this, that as Christians, we ought to view all things in the light of the Word of God, in the light of God's great prophecy and purpose. And we ought to bring all things that we see to the touchstone of the Word of God. What saith the Scripture? Does the Scripture give us any teaching? And consider these things strictly from the standpoint of the hand and the work and the providence of our Almighty God. Whatever we do, let's weigh all things from the standpoint of the Scripture. Let's also remember something else that the Bible teaches us in several different places. One would be Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness elevates a people. Righteousness is good for the country and the people. But sin is a reproach unto any people. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. For sin is a heavy yoke and a heavy burden and brings down a people and a nation. In Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that was true of Israel throughout the old economy and the Old Testament, that they had God for their Lord, and blessed is such a people. Now, let's consider the effect of evil leaders upon a people and a nation. 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 16, we read, Jeroboam, who did sin and made Israel to sin. Again in 1 Kings 15 and 26, King Nadab, quote, did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father Jeroboam and in his sin wherein he made Israel to sin. With all of his idolatry and his idols, he caused Israel to commit a great sin against God. Again, 1 Kings 15 and verse 34. And he, that is King Baasha, did evil in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. So those kings in their wickedness caused and led the people to sin. Now the conclusion is this, that wicked leaders are a scourge unto any nation. As Charles Bridge wrote on that verse in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, the tyrant rules for his own sinful ends, the Christian sovereign for the good of the people and the nation, unquote. Good men and evil men compared, to which I add that they also reign and lead to the glory of God and the happiness of the people. Now we have to say, I believe, that the majority of the world's leaders, not just ours, but the majority of the world's leaders are corrupt despots in our day and time. They are elitist, one-worlders, who plunder their people and drive their nation down into ruin by their wickedness and obduracy against the things of God. Now we come to talk about, what about America? Are some things that we are hearing and we are reading true, or will they come true in our lifetime or future? For example, are we headed for a total financial collapse? There are a lot of smart people in this world and economists who say that it is so. Is the government listening to our phone calls and reading our emails as they have been authorized to do? Are we, as we keep hearing, heading for a cashless society where every financial transaction is tracked by the government? Will pensions and IRAs be reduced or be confiscated or nationalized sometime in the future? This is about the only real money that we have. where we live in a world and a country without borders, a country absolutely without borders? Will we be punished for opposing homosexuality and gay marriage? Can they really track us out on the highway as we pass by with their technology, by our phones? Will they really try to put chips in us, as some people have said and have heard? Or their concentration camps that are at the ready for insurrection in America? Why did I see a picture of a government agency with hundreds and hundreds of caskets stored in a warehouse? And why is the NSA buying up ammunition, as we've read, by the truckload? Now, I want you to think on this thing. Maybe you're saying now, oh, wait a minute. This is America. This cannot happen within the borders of our country. This cannot and will not happen in our country. Why? Well, we have a constitution that protects us and our rights. We are a democracy. Sometimes I hear people say, the people won't stand for these things. They won't stand for that. And so forth. They say, we have liberty. We are the home of the brave. We are the home of the true and the home of the brave. Land of the free and the home of the brave. I'll get it right in a minute. Now, if you think that, you're saying, well, wait a minute. This can't happen here in America, our great country, our constitution set, and such like. Well, I want you to consider something if you think like that. Number one, I want you to consider that by far the majority of the people believe the country's headed in the wrong direction. But then number one, I want you to notice what has already happened in America. I want you to notice what has already happened in America. And I'll ask you the question. Would Grandma and Grandpa ever imagine that abortion would be legalized to take care of an inconvenient pregnancy? Would Grandma and Grandma ever imagine that any two of the same gender would legally marry in America? Would Grandma or Grandpa ever have thought that their land could not be used? They could not build on it or live on it because of a frog or a fish or a bird that lived there, or perhaps a tree, or that they couldn't cut down their timber because an owl lived in their forest? They couldn't irrigate the almond groves in California. The water was shut off because of a little fish about that big that might be caught in the irrigation pumps. This has already happened, and more. Secondly, I asked, as for the Constitution, we have a Constitution, and we do. But let me tell you that presidents, politicians, judges, many people absolutely every day trample on our Constitution as if it were nothing but a piece of paper. Did you know that the Supreme Court of the land used the Constitution to justify and to legalize abortion? They used the Constitution, that part about the right to privacy, to justify and legalize abortion, and millions upon millions have been murdered, inventing the right to kill the unborn out of the Constitution. So I tell you, they don't give a hoot about the Constitution when it is an inconvenience or when it is would be a hindrance onto their agenda. Now, how serious is it? How serious is this that we're talking about? Well, I want to give you my premise. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not a prophet's son. But from discerning the thing and the time, my premise is America is right now sick unto death. In fact, it is on life support, gasping for air, in danger of passing away at the young age of 240 years. Hospice may soon be called in to make her comfortable in her last days. And a sad thing about it is that this death is not a natural death. It's not a natural death that is getting our country. It is more a case of euthanasia. Our country is being euthanized. She's been injected with a lethal amount of liberalism, progressivism, multiculturalism, humanism, secularism, socialism, and such like, and it has destroyed her immune system, and I fear for her life. And you know what else is sad? What else is sad about this? There are many who will cheer her passing. They will cheer and dance in the street. They will be glad when she is dead and gone. They want her dead. Away with this America. Away with the old and up with the new America. Cremate her. Bring on the promise to fundamentally transform America. Drive a stake through her heart. And any tears that are shed will be tears of joy on the part of some. They will dance in the street. Now, these are the same sort who would crucify afresh the Son of God and put Him to an open shame, for they are Christ haters in their heart. Make no mistake about it. What we are seeing now in the secularization of America is cultural genocide and nothing short of it. And I use the word genocide here in its actual meaning, the deliberate and the systematic destruction of the racial, political, or cultural group. It is a cultural cleaning that is occurring in our nation at this particular time. They want to change our culture so that anything goes, anything whatsoever, and no restriction. And to stifle any public display of biblical Christianity. It's coming down one by one and place by place, using the words that are their key word, justice, racism, homophobia against us, justifying the removal of ancient landmarks that God has set up. And when some pretend to change for the better, it comes with dangerous, destructive consequences. When anyone does that which is right in their own eyes rather than in the eye of God. Judges 21:25, Deuteronomy 12 and verse 8, Judges 17 and 16, Moses said, "You shall not do everyone that which is right in your own eye." But they want to indulge their lascivious appetite. No restraints upon any behavior whatsoever. No checks. But let me tell you, in the end, a secular society is an amoral society which will rot from the inside out and destroy its very own self. But now, let's get into some specific about the impending demise of the country. For America, as we know it, may soon be no more. Oh, I know the landmass will still be here. There'll still be people everywhere. There'll be roads and vehicles and houses, and there will be buildings and roads and bridges and that sort of thing. But it is my opinion. No, I change that to this. It is my fear that the culture, the good life, that the wealth that has been created and enjoyed here will be gone. It will be gone if we continue on our present path. Let me mention, before I go on, the war on Christianity. The war being waged on Christianity by our government and by the leaders of our country. There is a creeping criminalization of Christianity. Our government has turned against Christianity. A generation that knows not Joseph has come into power. Exodus 1 and verse 8. With animosity against the people of God. The murder of the unborn is legal. Every sexual deviancy is now practiced and accepted. And if you read in Leviticus chapter 18, what those things do to a nation. In Leviticus chapter 18, all manner of sin is forbidden. And it says those sins were practiced in the land that God would give unto the people. And those sins were incest of every sort, adultery, bestiality, if you can believe it, idolatry, homosexuality, human sacrifice. And you can see in Leviticus chapter 18, 24 and 25, these things just named. I might not ought to bring this up in front of little tender ears, but there are people in the homosexual movement who want to remove all laws and limits upon sexual contact, even with young children. Human sacrifice. But listen to Leviticus 18, 24 and 25. By these things, the land is defiled. This defiles the land. Well, not the dirt and the soil, just to the ground. But these things defile the land when they become the culture and the practice of the people. It is moral defilement that is meant in that passage. Gill said the land was defiled by immoralities and idolatries, which are mentioned. You say, I don't see a war on Christianity. What are you talking about? Well, let me give you a couple of examples. Are you familiar with the chain Hobby Lobby and the chain Chick-fil-A? They were attacked, both of them, by the homosexual, by the liberals, for their Christian position on marriage. When they stated their Christian position on marriage, they were attacked. And Hobby Lobby was at one time the owners talking about just closing it down. But they have a lawsuit now against Obamacare on that. Attacking them for their Christian position upon marriage. Do you remember in Genesis 19 how the men of Sodom, those Sodomites, swarmed the house of Lot when he rebuked them for their behavior? In Genesis 19, 1 through 11. Oh, he said, do not so wickedly. Ah, you've come to be a judge among us, have you? And they swarmed his house and would have broken it down. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both would claim to be Christian and have claimed to be Christian, but they are both very strong advocates for, quote, the LGBT community, unquote. Hillary said in a speech, a world speech, a gathering of women, Hillary said religious people must change their views. They must change their view, and they must be changed by law if it comes to that. Obama declared that schools should allow students to use the restroom of their gender identity, not necessarily the one that they were born with. Several states have lawsuits against that, and others have made it legal that men and women can go into any bathroom that they choose. Now, let's speak of a twofold scourge that has been visited upon our land in the last 40 or 50 years, encroaching and creeping, and perhaps we didn't notice it. It is, and I want to speak of a couple of them this morning. Political correctness, first of all. Let's think about, you hear a lot about political correctness. First, you didn't hear the name, you just heard it enforced. But now the name is freely attached to it. Political correctness. Well, they would have you to think that political correctness is about you being nice to other people. It's about you being civil. It's about you having respect. It's about you living in harmony. But I tell you, it is cultural communism, is what it actually is. Its purpose is not for us to be nice. Its purpose is to force tolerance of evil. That's the purpose of political correctness. It's to shut you up. It's to crush dissent. It is to crush your criticism, legitimate criticism of something that you don't like. You need to know something about it. It originated in Hamburg School in Germany. I think Hitler probably ran them out of the country. And then they migrated to America, and some of these guys became professors in the colleges in America. Now it's put down its roots deeply in the American system, so that there are words, there are opinions that are banned from the public arena in our day. There are things you can't discuss in the public arena, especially if you do it at work. It is government-approved speech, and that is exactly what it is. You know, you people that work in large companies, you know that you can be fired or you can be sent to sensitivity training for expressing an opinion, quoting a verse of Scripture, or using a certain word in the presence of another. By the way, neither Jesus, our blessed Lord, nor the Apostle Paul or the prophets were politically correct. They called it what it was and said it in the public. Last year, political correctness swept through the South and pulled down Confederate flags in all places. Now, mind you, let's make a comparison here to see the idiocy of that. Mind you, burning the American flag is legal and has been ruled as freedom of speech. Burning, not say that anybody that burned the American flag hated something about this country or about the life of it or something else. So burning the American flag is legal and is an expression of free speech. A Confederate flag is a symbol of racism and hatred. You go figure that. Being on the roll, political correctness is moving to change the names of HISD schools right now, this year. They're in the process. They've already voted to do it. They're in the process of changing the name of HISD schools who were named after Southerners who were famous somewhere in history gone by. I was wondering, since they need to change the name of the school, I was wondering if people who have last names like the school need to change their name too and take another name. There is a strong call right now to change the name of professional teams, sports teams that are named after African Americans. That's Indians. Chiefs, Comanches, Redskins, Seminoles, Apaches, all over the country, high schools and colleges have taken those nicknames for their team. But now this is said to be demeaning to Native American, and there's a call for change. Now I wonder what's next. Will they call to change the towns with Christian or religious names? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all. How about Los Angeles, City of Angels? Well, we can't have a town named that. How about Corpus Christi, the body of Christ? Oh my, that might be offensive to some atheist. How about St. Paul? How about St. Petersburg, Palestine, Bethlehem, Angel Fire? You see, what's next? Don't be surprised. Stay tuned, because it is sweeping like a wildfire. Now, I want to mention a second scourge that I think, you think about it, see what you say, that is being used in our country, and that is what is called diversity, or the more expressed term, multiculturalism. Over and over, people are telling us our diversity is our strength. Now, what they mean by diversity is having people from all over the world, and every kind of religion that you can imagine, and every kind of culture that you can imagine brought in and mingled in our country. Every religion and every nationality show that no culture is dominant in our country anymore. And especially a Christian conservative culture is not dominant in our country anymore. Have you ever listened to those women? I think they call that program The View. And there are these women that sit around pontificating. They said this. One of them did. Christianity is a bigger threat than ISIS. That was on The View. Diversity is another liberal, media-driven, government-sponsored lie that they have fed the people. And I want to tell you that the countries that have allowed the millions and the millions of Muslims to come into their country, that would be France and England and Germany, are paying a very heavy price for it right now. They're paying a very heavy price. Why? Because they don't assemble. They don't want to mix in. They want to establish their own pockets of culture, and they want to have Sharia law instead of the law of that country. And whether you've heard about it or not, gangs of Muslim men in these countries, England, France, and such like, are gang raping the native women of that country, but our media won't hardly touch it. Remember, they blow things up. Now, let's anticipate. Some will say, and here's what I expect. You're spewing hate. That's so hateful. That is such an hate-monger position that you're taking. Well, which is it? Is it hate or is it truth? These are the same people that might call the prophets of God racist bigots because they warned Israel not to intermarry with the heathen, not to worship with them, or to learn the way of the heathen, that is, the Gentile, to stay separate from them and to keep their religion pure. Again, with these same people, accused the Apostle Paul of being an intolerant and religious bigot because he believed there's one God, there's one Savior, there's one Christ, there's one gospel, and there's one way of salvation. Would they say, Paul, you're an intemperate religious bigot for taking such a position? Probably they would. Have you ever seen the video of Oprah Winfrey saying, there cannot be just one way to be saved? There are too many people upon the face of the earth. I saw the video. Truth has been crucified on the cross of political correctness. Now truth is called a lie and vice versa. Truth is labeled as hate speech. And in some cases, it has been criminalized. Politicians and preachers regularly lie unto the people and they eat it up. My people love to have it so, Isaiah said, hastening thus their own ruin because they believe a lie. Now, another thing about multiculturalism. Many are pushing today for something I mentioned before, for abolishing all borders of nations in the country. Ours is almost abolished now. Let anybody go anywhere they please. Leave them alone. Everybody has a right to go to whatever country they want to. And I must tell you that a very rich, and a very wicked man is financing this movement very strongly out of his very own pocket. Now, let's think about that, and let's ask this question. If this happens, if there are no borders, if people can go wherever they want to, where will most people want to go? Will they say, oh, I want to go to Cucamonga. I've always dreamed of living in Cucamonga. I want to go to Outer Mongolia. I want to go to Iceland. No, they want to come to the more prosperous countries, and there are not jobs, and there are not things that are available for them. I want to speak of another great hoax. I believe that one of the greatest hoaxes in my lifetime is global warming. Obama frequently says, and so do others, it is a bigger threat than ISIS, unquote. He says that very regularly. A bigger threat than ISIS. More dangerous than Muslims who blow things up and who shoot many people. You need to know something about this fraudulent movement called global warming. On the first Earth Day, when they met the first time, and I think it was 73 or 74, one of those years. But it was the first Earth Day. And you know what their subject was? You know what they preached? You know what they warned about? You know what they predicted? A coming ice age. 1973, 1974, we're going to freeze. There's not going to be any food. An ice age is coming. We face the threat of another ice age if we don't correct this problem. In less than 40 years, we went from too cold to too hot in our day and time. Global warming. Obama started using the term climate change because that covers either one. Record cold, record hot. We can lay it off on climate change. Socialism did not create the wealth and the prosperity in America. It does not enrich a people or a nation. It impoverishes them and it bankrupts them. And you see that in many countries today. We had an avowed socialist who ran for president this year. An avowed socialist is a first cousin with a communist. We had an avowed socialist who ran for president this year promising free college to everyone. Now, there is no free college. Somebody pays. There is no free college. Socialism has our country over $20 trillion in debt. And this administration has incurred more national debt than every president before him put together. More than every one of them combined. So the question is, what happened? How did we go from that unto this? What went wrong? How did it come to this? I think that a very large part of it is that the liberals, the socialists, the progressives, long ago got control of the educational system, mostly of the colleges, making as many converts to socialism as they possibly could to those kids that were sent off under their care. You know, you can send your normal, good, well-trained kid off to college today, and it's possible that you might get back a socialist after sitting in the colleges. Liberals also control most of the media, and they influence public opinion to divert their attention away from the real condition and the real truth of the matter in our day. The news. Let me give you an example. About 2 weeks ago, three, we were sitting there watching the evening news. You see it five times, 4, 5, 6, 10, 11. And there came a story on Channel 11, and I'm not making this up. Two dogs got married. Two dogs got married, and they filmed that, and it was part of their news. A family had their dogs get married. Now, while men slept, an enemy sowed tares. Matthew 13:25. Now, in our country, while millions cannot go without their sports, while many will camp all night on the sidewalk outside of Best Buy to buy the latest electronic gadget. And while many will camp and tear the door down at Walmart to get in and buy the latest $200 pair of shoes, or to find Pokemon, while they're doing that, politicians are giving the country away. They are destroying it while men slept. Now we say, who are complicit in this? Well, number one, the corrupt politician who trampled the Constitution, plundered the country, and I mean both major parties are traitors, hogs at the trough, turncoats, liars, carpetbaggers, and they have the nerve to call what they do public service. Two, I think citizens are complicit who are blind followers of blind leaders, pervert the scripture, and keep electing the same one who are destroying our country. And thirdly, I think the apostate churches are to blame who preach a social gospel, pervert scripture, embrace any false way, hate the gospel of Christ, and are welcome Islam with open arms while detesting biblical Christianity. Far left loonies they are who are running our country in this day. Now, our present leaders were rationalized early in their life. They come under the influence of some very evil socialistic people, and they have been that ever since. And so, it is not looking good. We now have gender-inclusive bathrooms. People today in leadership strongly support the LGBT community. Schools are beginning to stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance because of the protests of some. 5-year-olds I saw on the TV the other night are having gender issues and are wanting to become transgender. 5-year-old, I believe it was. People are riding in the street, and yet what we're hearing is police need more training. A Brown University student body president, and I'm not making this up, has called for feminine hygiene products in male bathrooms on their campuses. I fear the progressives now have the numbers to take us off of the cliff in this great tug of war. Could this be the judgment of God? Is any of this God's judgment upon us and upon the world? Psalm 81 and verse 12, I gave them up to their own heart's lust. They walked in their own counsel. In Romans 1 we read, I gave them up, I gave them over. Acts 7 and 42, God gave them up to worship the host of heaven, so that the idea of God's judgment is now rejected by people who say that they are Christian. No, it's not God's judgment. It's Mother Nature. It's climate change. It's income equality. It's poverty. It's injustice is what we're saying is the problem. Now, do any suppose that America is exempt from the judgment of God? Because sometimes God judges by leaving people to their own evil way and desires. And that is a judgment when God gives people up to that way. Let me close with an analogy, if you would. Have you ever been to see someone very sick? A friend, a neighbor, a kinsman, a family member, whatever. You look upon them, you see their frailness, you see their paleness, you see their weakness and all that. And you leave the room and you say to yourself or to your companion, I don't think you're going to make it. I don't think they're going to get well. How many times have we all done that? I don't think that we're going to make it. Now, the analogy is this. From the condition, the advanced condition, from what we're seeing, what's being done, will our nation make it? Will it make it? That's the thing we cry unto our God about. Oh, God, be merciful. Oh, God, keep freely the gospel. Keep freely the word of God. Keep our Christian liberty at freedom here in this country.